So we come to our second Bible reading, and the one we'll be focusing on this morning as we read. And it's on page 976. It's Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verses 15 to 23. And it's one of Paul's prayers. And through this, I hope that we'll be able to learn a little bit more about prayer and what we should be praying for. So let's listen to God speak to us. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And we thank God for his word. Let's pray. Lord, still our wandering thoughts. And help us now as we reflect on your word to hear you speak. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord, that we may behold wonderful things from your word and we may see you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last year, I got one of these. Just about a year ago, like a schoolboy, I excitedly opened my iPhone box and played around with it. My main aim when I opened the box was to get the phone functioning as soon as I could. Not long after I had it out of the box, I had my passcode keyed in. I had my fingerprint on as well for fingerprint recognition. And then I started to download some new apps and get the phone ready for use. I use the phone a lot. It functions as a book library for me, a music library, a radio library. It functions as my calendar. Occasionally I use it as a word processor. I send emails and interact on social media. I text, I take photos, and I even play games on it. Oh, yes, and occasionally I use it as a phone and talk to people. Yet although I use it extensively, I also know that once I got it functioning and doing what I wanted it to do, I finished learning all about it. So there are many more things apparently I can do with this phone that I haven't a clue about and don't yet know. I haven't a clue how Siri works. I haven't bothered to try and find out about it. I apparently can enhance my photos and do all sorts of things with a camera that I'm not aware of yet. And loads of other things that I don't know. There's so much more I do not yet know about this iPhone. And may never know because I won't take the time and I won't bother to learn. I don't know about this phone as much or as deeply as I should because I'm not making the effort to do that. And in a sense, that's also how I and maybe many others often treat God. We get what we need out of him. We get enough of God to get us by. But we don't go deep enough. We don't learn enough about him or know him enough. We still have more to do. That's why Paul prays when he prays in Ephesians 1. And what he prays in Ephesians 1. His prayer helps us to take stock of where our spiritual life is and what has to happen if we are to grow and go deeper with God and reach wider in his world. Paul has spent the opening 14 verses thanking God for the faith and love of these people and for the spiritual blessings that they have received from God. Look at these blessings. In verse 4, he chose us in Christ before the creation. He chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless in his sight. He predestined us for adoption in verse 5. In Christ we have redemption and we have forgiveness, verse 7, in accordance with the riches of his grace. Those are amazing spiritual blessings. Those verses are loaded with blessings that God has given us. Who am I that God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ has blessed me in the heavenly realms? Yet the danger is we don't fully get it. Instead, we live as mournful, dreary people, not making the best of what God has given us, not making the best of those spiritual blessings that have been promised to his people. So when Paul comes to now pray for these Christian people in verses 15, and it's the Christian people in Ephesus that he's praying for, the first thing he prays is this, that they will know God better. He's not praying that their circumstances will improve. Paul is praying, and he says, in fact, that he keeps on praying, that God will give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that they will know him better. Yes, as Christians, they know God already. However, chosen, adopted, redeemed, and forgiven as they are, they won't always fully get this. Knowing God, though they did, there was still more to learn and to know about him. Last year, we had the wonderful privilege of being able to visit Canada for the first time. It was my wife and my special birthdays, 40 again, 2 decades on. But we went to Canada. We had never been there before. And we started off in Calgary. And we learned all about Calgary. We happened to be there during the stampede, and it was wonderful. And then we got the car and drove to Banff, which was beautiful, and we drove through the Rockies. And Lake Louise was like nothing I'd ever seen before. And then we went on to Jasper and stopped there. And all of that was beautiful, and we had traveled through some of the most beautiful scenery I've ever seen. And they were all beautiful places and wonderful experiences. And they were good, and we could have stopped there. But we moved on, and there was still more to see as we went through the Rockies and through British Columbia, all the way to Vancouver and Vancouver Island. There was much more to see and to know. And that's the same with us and with our knowledge of God. We can stop off somewhere. We can stop there, and that's it. But when we become a disciple of Jesus, we become a lifelong learner, learning more about Jesus and growing in our relationship with him every day. Paul prays that they and you would know God better. In fact, he says that he keeps on praying that they may know God better. This is what we are to do as we pray for ourselves and for Christians we know. We are to pray that we will know God better and keep learning of him. And keep on praying that. So when you come to pray for your friends, for people you know, for your church family, pray that they will know God better. So how do we know God better? For us to get to know God better, it won't happen by just having a head knowledge. It won't happen by reading books, by learning all about Luther, Calvin, or Billy Graham, or some great hero of the faith. We can read plenty of books, but we won't know God better that way. It will help us, But that's not enough. We can even read the Bible, but we won't necessarily know God better that way, either if we only read with the eyes of our head and our mind. The good news is that God helps us, who helps us to know him better. It's God who helps us. Paul prays that God will help them to know God better. It's his Spirit who helps us to grow and to know. God gives us his Spirit who leads us into truth. Paul is praying that God will open the eyes, not the eyes of their head, but the eyes of their heart. It's one thing to know someone with the eyes of your head and your mind. You can know all about someone. It's a completely different thing to know them with your heart. There's intimacy there. There's relationship. When Paul says heart, he means the real you, the inner being, the control center of your life. That's what he means with the eyes of your heart, that the eyes of the control center of your life would be opened and enlightened. You can know who Jesus is. You can even follow him as a disciple. But you may not know him with the eyes of your heart. Judas knew Jesus. He followed Jesus for 3 years. To all intents and purposes, he was a disciple of Jesus. There's nothing to say in Scripture that he didn't do what the other disciples did. I think we would have been told that if he had objected to doing what Jesus told them to do. It seems to me that Judas seemed to know Jesus with the eyes of his head. It's when it comes to the woman using expensive ointment on Jesus that John tells us that Judas' motives, what his motives were. He complained about the ointment being used, saying that the money should have been given for the poor. But John tells us that Judas said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a lover of money. Judas knew Jesus with the eyes of his head, but the eyes of his heart were blinded with money. The control center of his life was not focused on Jesus, but on money and worldly possessions. We need to know God with the eyes of our heart. So deep praying, good praying, requires us to pray that we and our Christian friends and family will know God better and that the eyes of our heart will be opened by God. But deep praying also requires us to know our future. In verse 18, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. God has a plan. If you look back to verse 10 of chapter 1, you'll see it there. As a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. God is working to a plan. God has a plan that one day all things will be united in Christ. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In the meantime, as we live in the here and now, but with the promise and the guarantee of the Holy Spirit that we will have eternity. He has a plan that those who are his will enjoy his inheritance and the blessings in all their fullness one day. All those blessings in the opening verses, we'll see them in fullness one day. Now we see them in part. On that day, there will be no more pain. On that day, there will be no more bullying from other people, no more fear of what evil can do, no more anxiety about what others think about you and your actions, no more sorrow. We will stand as children of the living God. Not because of anything we have done, but because of the rich grace of Jesus Christ, who died to take away our sin and make us right with him. Paul prays that we would know that hope of our calling. We have a great hope, more than a hope that we think of. I hope that my dinner will be ready when I get home. But this is more than this. This is an expectation, a hope that expects. We have a great hope, more than a hope, an expectation because of what Jesus has done. And we have a home in heaven that God has promised for us. That's where we're heading to. I grew up in Saintfield, County Down. It was my home. When I was coming home at Christmas from teacher training in Liverpool in England, yes, imagine a Man United supporter training to be a teacher in Liverpool. But when I came home from training in England at Christmas, I was so excited. I can still remember going up in the car up the 3 mile hill out of Belfast, heading towards Saintfield, looking forward to seeing those green rolling hills again. And yet it wasn't those rolling hills that I was excited about, although I loved seeing them again. It wasn't the farmhouse in which we lived, although I did love getting back into it. It was because of who was at home that made me excited. It was seeing my mum and dad again, and my brother. That's what made it home. Nowadays, I would only be in Saintfield once or twice a year, but it's not home anymore. There's no family there anymore. Heaven is heaven because of who will be there. Heaven is where Jesus is. And when we get there, we will be home for eternity, our true home that will be there forever. Paul prays that Christians would know their future and live accordingly as people of hope and expectation. And finally, Paul prays that Christians would know power. Being a disciple of Jesus is not always easy. Getting through life can be tough, and we can suffer in many different ways for our faith. Every one of us faces challenges every day, and sometimes those challenges create in us doubt or fear or anxiety. In all the challenges we face, we can be overwhelmed. However, we need to remember that we have spiritual blessings bestowed upon us by God, and as He calls us, He also equips us and empowers us. You will have all the power you need at your fingertips. You have all the resources you need from God who raised Jesus from the dead. That same power that raised Jesus and exalted Him to His place in heaven is actually available to you and me. Think about that. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. For your life to change and to grow in God, to go deeper and to reach wider, the power lies in God, not in you. It is God who is able to do great things in you. Paul goes on to spend the remaining verse in praise of Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church and is so closely linked to it that it is described as His body. Jesus loves His church. Jesus loves you. And Jesus is over everything. His power is such that nothing can surpass Him or overtake Him. Paul is praying that that power would be made available to the Ephesian Christians. And that's what we should pray for each other in the church, that power will be available to each other. That power is available to you. So as you face all your challenges in life, as you face all the difficulties that you may be facing today or in this week that comes ahead or that you don't even know are going to be difficulties yet, for all of this, you have Jesus and His power. You will be able to cope because of His power. Gladys Aylward is probably one of the most famous women missionaries and one of the most famous missionaries of the 20th century, if not all time. Yet if you had met her when she was a teenager, when she was 14 years of age, you wouldn't have thought she would have achieved what she did achieve in life. She was from a poor family. She wasn't well educated, and she didn't excel at school. She became a Christian through a pastor's wife. She felt a strong sense of God, of call from God to go to China. But the missionary board to which she went for interview didn't agree with her, and they turned her down. But she felt this strong call to go to China. She went on her own, traveling by train all the way through Europe. At one stage, she was stranded on a train on her own, not far away from where Russian and Chinese troops were engaged in hostilities. And when she got into China, God didn't allow her to have an easy time there either. She went through some harrowing experiences. But God used her to win many Chinese people to himself. The impact of her mission work and her ministry still can be seen today. She demonstrated courage and physical endurance where many of a man would have wilted. And how did she achieve it? It wasn't her education, it wasn't through a mission board or any great skills. It was because her life was centered on God alone. Everything was surrendered to him. And it was the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power of the resurrection, working in her life that helped her achieve many things. Know God better. Pray that you will know God better. Pray that you will know the riches of his inheritance, and that you will know the hope to which you're called, and pray that you will know power. Do you know that in the United States there are over $32 billion of unclaimed money sitting in state banks? $32 billion. You'll all be going to America next week. There are people in the United States who have money they don't even know they have. They're maybe struggling in life at the minute. But for whatever reason, there is money there that belongs to them, but they don't know about it. Or they haven't bothered to look for it. They could be better off than they are right now if only they knew they had these treasures. And maybe there's somebody here today in this building who doesn't realize that the treasures and the spiritual blessings that can be theirs in Jesus Christ, because they have never asked him in. If that's you today, I would encourage you to stop putting down the shutters. Stop closing the door. But open your heart and let him come in. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened today, and you will ask Jesus, that precious Savior who died for you, to come and forgive you your sin and to yield your life to him. Don't keep putting it off. And for you who follow Jesus, how well are you getting to know him? Know God better. Know your future and don't be afraid. And know the power that can make you so much more than you ever thought you could. There is much more I could learn about this iPhone. And there is much more for us to know of God. But like my iPhone, I don't always use it the way I should. Pray that God will enlighten our hearts, open the eyes of our heart, that we may see him high and lifted up, and that we would know the hope of his calling, the scope of the inheritance available, and that we would know his power to help us in all we face in the days to come. Let's pray. Just before I lead us in prayer, maybe God's been speaking to you this morning. And as God has been speaking to you, just give you a few moments to reflect on what you've been hearing and to respond to God in whatever way it is. If it's that you have never yielded your life to Him, take these moments to do that. If there's anything anxious, or if you're following Jesus but you don't know Him enough, just bring it to Him. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Amen.